The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the epic pie cast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson, Lugo, and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 37. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord. Now, folks, before we begin, we have an announcement to make. Big changes are afoot here at the Epic Podcast. New beginnings, if you will. Surely these last 2 months, you've noticed that our third co-host has been absent. Unfortunately, Rachel Schenck will no longer be joining us as a co-host here at the Epic Podcast. She is on to greener pastures and definitely bigger and better things. But who knows? Perhaps someday down the road, she'll join us again as a guest or in some other capacity. But regardless of what the future holds, we wish Rachel only the very best. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back, Schaefer!
Welcome back, Lugo!
Hey, it's been 30 days.
So it's time to do this nonsense again? Do you think anyone's listening? Because they're all probably preparing food and watching giant balloons.
Oh my God.
Float around Manhattan on television because it's Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah. Do you think they're listening to the podcast while they're making dinner?
I like to think that they are.
Oh.
But who knows?
That makes me feel good for some reason. I don't know why. Happy Thanksgiving, listener.
Yay.
Save a drumstick for me.
I might get drunk enough to listen to this podcast while I watch a giant Charlie Brown trot down Fifth Avenue.
That's not true because, you're still going to be in town on Thanksgiving.
Today.
Yeah.
Yes, I am still in town. I'm looking at you in town right now.
I'd say.
Gobble, gobble.
Yes, gobble, gobble.
Cranberry sauce. Let's watch the Detroit Lions. Fuck you. You're not my real dad. And then pass out in a chair and then wake up and eat more pie.
You know, I mean, speaking of like new beginnings and new starts and like there's been a lot of new shit going on in my life. I got a new job.
You did get a new job?
I'm getting a new apartment.
A new apartment, a new home.
A new home, like there's new opportunities in my life. But yeah, I'm so tired. I'm so damn tired. I need a nap.
You are like Friday the 13th, part 5.
What is, I don't get the reference.
That one is subtitled A New Beginning.
Oh, I see. I see.
That is also the only film in the Friday the 13th franchise that does not feature Jason Voorhees.
I don't understand the reference.
See, he wasn't in that one.
Oh my God.
Because he died in the final chapter,
You're really explaining the movie.
Final chapter is.
I hate you.
Part 4 is the best of the Friday 13th movies. That had a young Corey Feldman.
I hate you so much.
So he died like he does at the end of every movie. And then in number 5, he wasn't there. So it was somebody who was like a copycat who was a fan doing it.
Please stop.
And then he came back in part 6, Jason Lives.
Please stop.
So you are like chapter 5.
Please stop.
Which came out in 1985, I believe.
First of all, who let the cow in here? That's...
Oh, sorry. I have a really bad alarm on my phone. Let me turn that off.
Now that you've thoroughly confused me and our one listener, all I'm saying is there's a lot of new stuff in my life, a lot of good stuff.
That's good.
You know, lots of endings, lots of door openings, and I'm feeling pretty good.
That's so exciting and hopeful.
Yeah.
My life is just very old.
Shut up.
I I just had a birthday a couple weeks ago.
Happy birthday!
Thank you so much.
I'm really kind of shocked this year because generally speaking, every year that I've known you, your birthday is not just a birthday. It is a month unto which you essentially make everyone around you celebrate your birthday for the entire fucking month.
Well, here's the thing.
And this year you didn't do it. This year you didn't do it. And so it threw me off.
I didn't do it, and here's why.
Why?
Because I don't care anymore.
Who are you, and what have you done with Schaefer the Dark Lord?
Last year's birthday was a milestone. It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
I was 40.
Yeah.
This year, I am now just in my 40s.
Well, yeah.
Last year's felt like a thing.
Yeah.
This feels like defeat.
Aww.
No, that's also, I'm actually, hold on. I know that sounds a little grim. I'm only characterizing it in that way.
Sure.
In my defense, I only characterize it that way.
Right.
Because I am currently in the throes of crippling depression.
Well, yes.
The worst I've known in years.
Okay.
So that's why I didn't make a big to-do and blow out candles and shit on my birthday, because I'm too busy managing my feelings just so I can barely be a functioning, existing person in society.
Okay.
But I have played some video games and that was fun.
Holy shit. Oh, there's so much weight.
I'm also feeling old.
No,
we're not dwelling on this because I've actually said more than I want to. I will say the rest of it to Dr. T, my therapist. But
oh my god,
adding to the theme of how I am, you have a bunch of a new beginning,
yeah.
Much like Friday 13th Part 5.
Stop.
I have been doing old things, like I got old. For one. And also because next month I am guest hosting the Pink Room's burlesque tribute to X-Files.
Yes.
And I kind of missed out on the X-Files phenomenon in the 90s. I saw a handful of episodes, wasn't
sure.
really into it.
Sure.
But for this hosting gig, I have committed myself to marathoning 9 seasons and 2 movies of the X-Files so that I can prepare for the show. For this hosting gig.
Why do you hate yourself?
I don't hate myself. Well, all right. I don't hate myself. That's not indicative of me hating myself. That is indicative of me being very committed to research for a hosting gig. But I've actually, the thing I found out is that I really like the X-Files.
I thought you might, actually.
Here's the thing. I don't have, like, I know a lot of people will go back and watch television series from 20 years ago that they really loved.
Sure.
But they'll have a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And I don't have that.
No.
And as it turns out, it still kind of stands up. I mean, some of the tech and computer stuff is a little like, oh, look at you guys. You didn't know how to anything.
You know how to internet.
But it's... But the storytelling actually still kind of
absolutely.
Stands up, and I really enjoy
it.
Here's the thing that I've really enjoyed taking away from it.
What's that?
Their relationship is not entirely dissimilar from ours. And when I say they, I'm talking about the lead characters.
Oh, well, first of all, I didn't fall off the fucking X-Files truck yesterday, asshole.
The point is this.
Yeah.
You are Agent Scully, and I am Agent Mulder. You can't argue that.
No, I don't disagree, but I want to know your reasons why.
Terrific. Agent Scully is a hardened skeptic.
Sure.
A doctor and a champion of science.
Yes.
She is brought in.
That is her defining
the
trait.
They
yes.
bring her in and make her work with Mulder in the basement because he
on
chases
purpose.
He chases all of these chupacabras and shit, and they bring her in to say, like, hey, scientific explanation.
Yeah.
And you,
yeah.
the hard-nosed atheist skeptic science enthusiast.
Except Agent Scully was not an atheist.
I'm talking about in our dynamic. All right?
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Whereas I, on the other hand,
yeah.
my attitudes regarding a supreme being are agnostic in nature.
Okay.
In other words, I want to believe.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I actually do. I have no reason to believe in the existence of God or supreme being.
No, not at all.
But there's a part of me deep down that kind of wants that to be a thing.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of do. I kind of want to be wrong and be like, holy shit! I was so wrong for all those years and I wrote all of that blasphemous material. Whereas you, on the other hand, are like, science.
That's the worst
Gillian Anderson impression ever.
Yes.
Look, I'm not known for my impressions. I'm known for my shitty rap songs.
Fair enough. You know, it's funny. I've actually been watching an old TV show too.
What are you watching?
Deadwood.
Oh.
Yeah.
So much swearing. I love it.
So I've been watching because I don't have time to go through my Hulu queue, and but the Amazon Prime Video app actually just added a function where I can download videos and watch them offline. So that's what I've been doing. So I've been downloading all of these videos, and because I have Prime, I've got a lot of TV shows I can just watch for free, one of them which is Deadwood.
Nice.
And I'm just barreling through them like a fucking fiend.
It's good, right?
I love this show so fucking much. I've never heard more creative uses for the word cunt in my entire life.
Or cocksucker for that
or
matter.
Or cocksucker. I think my favorite phrase so far is... And it's said by one of the main characters, Swear Engine, the big bad guy
of the
show, and he says those cunting hoople heads.
That's
fucking brilliant.
That's a marvelous use of syllables.
Yeah,
and
those
language
cunting hoople heads is my most favorite phrase of all time.
Hey, how about that? How about that Bladderstone episode, huh?
Oh my god. Yes,
I stopped watching the show
two.
For a while because I had a stomach ache that lasted days.
So for those of you who don't know, Deadwood is set in an in the old town of Deadwood before it became annexed into the Dakotas, and before law and government was there. And so basically, it's the Wild West. It is the definition of the Wild West, and you have all of these characters who all have their own specific wants and needs, and they're all crooked in some way, except for, like, maybe the sheriff is less crooked than most people. And there's sex, and there's violence, and there's just blunt, no-filter talking about topics. But it's done. The writing is beautiful. It is Shakespearean. That's how beautiful it is. And I can't get enough of it. I'm sad that there's only three seasons. Because I'm coming up. I just finished season two, and I'm kind of sad that I'm going to be watching season three, and then it'll be over.
The Epic Podcast, where you can hear old men give you elevator pitches for 10-year-old television shows.
Oh my god, that's exactly what just happened.
That is what just happened.
Oh my fucking gods.
So I'm very excited about our guest this month, and
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's plenty of catch up for us.
Absolutely, let's get out of here.
Because
we need to talk about pop culture.
We need to take the pills that are in the Thursday box. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with our guest in just a moment.
I just want to bounce about and have some fun with you. There's something wild behind your smile, I see it trickle through. Maybe we can teach each other a new trick or two. So where to? My place or yours? Or anywhere where we can get behind closed doors? I'll gladly go and grab us up a cab, but before that, I must ensure that everything is well up before, yeah. Here's my full name, and here's my address, in case you want to send them to your best friend in a text. And let them know where you're going, who you're with, and when you leave. Or even ask them if there's anything they've heard about me. We've had a couple drinks tonight. Are you impaired? Are you stumbling? Are you fucked up? Or are you aware and coherent and quite capable of making decisions? Then cool, but I'll keep asking for conviction. And we go one, two, three, and three, four. Though your words say yes, I'ma need a little more. I know you want it when you react with intent, but first I need that enthusiastic consent. And we go four, three, two, and two, one. I'll be checking in even after we're done. But before we progress, stop, before we undress, I'ma need a lot more than a yes. I don't see the mere fact that you flirt with me as a sealed contract of our sexual certainty. It doesn't matter what you said when you were sexting me. It only matters how you say it when you're next to me. And I don't care if we've done it before, or if earlier we made out on the dance floor. For if tonight you change your mind, fall asleep, or say stop, then that's when this stops. But this isn't just about your consent to my desires. Let's talk about what you want and what lights your fire. You want me begging?
I'm into it.
In leggings?
I'm into it.
Are you interested in pegging?
Into it.
This could be amazing once concerns are assuaged and we're good, giving, and game. And on the same page, everything in black and white and crystal clearer than day. No blurred lines, no shades of gray. And we go one, two, three, and four. Though your words say yes, I'ma need a little more. I know you want it when you react with intent. But first I need that enthusiastic consent. And we go four, three, two, and two, one. I'll be checking in even after we're done. But before we progress, stop before we address. I'ma need a lot more than a yes. And we go five, six, seven, eight. No means no is never up for debate. And the lack of a no isn't the same as a yes. And a yes isn't the same as an oh my god, yes. And if that sentiment is expressed, we can indulge to excess or only caress. But before we progress, stop before we address. I'ma need a lot more than a yes. When I ask, you wanna? You say yes. You wanna?
Yes.
You wanna?
Yes.
When I ask, this okay? You say, oh yes. This okay?
Oh yes.
This okay?
Oh yes.
When I ask, into it? You say, fuck yes. Into it?
Fuck yes.
Into it?
Fuck yes.
When I ask, keep going? You say no. Keep going?
No.
Okay, then this is done. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is a longtime friend of the podcast, making his fifth appearance with us, the managing editor of comicbook.com, our dear friend, Lucas Siegel.
Lucas Siegel!
Yay!
Yay! Am I not supposed to cheer for myself? Is that
no, you're loud.
Yay!
You're loud. Absolutely. It's nice to have you back, Lucas.
I missed you. I can't believe I've done this show five times.
Actually, neither could I. I think those numbers are fudged, but
I can't believe you made it to the second one. But you still
we've only
went
back. That's
like half as many as you guys have done total, right?
You have done more episodes of this show than I have. I noticed there when we were plugging your title that you are the managing editor of comicbook.com. This is new since the last time we had you on the show.
This is new. This is just a couple of months old.
You used to work at a different store.
I did. And now I used to work for the mom and pop shop, and now I'm working for the much larger chain that everybody knows. So yeah, it's a really, really great experience so far. It's only been a few months since just before New York Comic Con, and I'm loving it. It's we have an incredible readership, and the slight irony is that I was brought into comicbook.com to do mostly anything but comic books. Mm-hmm. So I'm there much more to expand the multimedia stuff.
Oh, sure.
Movies and TV and video games and... to be honest, after 10 years of writing about comic books, that's much more interesting to me anyway.
Really? So. Don't you think you're going to miss writing monthly solicitations lists?
Oh, gosh.
What about reporting on the death and not-so-death of the dead hero of the week?
Yeah, see? Exactly. So the great thing about this is that I can just kind of pick and choose, and if there's a comic that I'm really enjoying or a particular person that I want to interview, I can do that. And then I don't have to deal with any of the other crap.
Well, there you go.
So like at New York Comic Con, when I got to talk to Frank Miller, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take that one myself because I get to talk to Frank Miller.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then all of the rest of New York Comic Con, I did TV stuff and said, screw comics. It was great.
How excited are you for Frank Miller's next Dark Knight?
I'm super excited. I really am.
Have you had any taste of it?
So, Dark Knight 3 is co-plotted by Frank Miller, and then it's written by Brian Azzarello.
Oh.
Oh.
And what I've seen of it so far has been very, very good.
It's called Master Race?
Yes.
Is that what the
yes.
Dark Knight 3?
Right. So, Frank is writing, or co-writing, and then drawing some of the mini comics that they're doing. And these are actual, like, pack-in mini comics that are inside the comic book.
Really?
And they're like they're just like little...
Oh, like ash cans. Tie-in like ash cans.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So the very first issue, he does a mini comic with the Atom. And each one will feature a different character and a different artist. And then all the mini comics tie together and will lead into the final issue of the main series.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of brings you up to date on where these other heroes have been while all this shit has been going down with Batman and Superman fighting and Batman seemingly dying again and then coming back again and all of that.
So
and
it gives fills you a in little, all the gaps, essentially.
Yeah. Oh. And Miller's work on the Atom minicomic is, without question, the best art I've seen from Frank Miller in 15 years, maybe 20. It's outstanding. And there are little influences from long ago artists. There are the best talking heads that he's ever done, because it's never been his forte, and he will readily admit that. And the action just sings. It just it feels like the original Dark Knight. It really does.
Wow.
And it's gorgeous.
Does this basically forget that there was a middle chapter that was essentially an abomination of nature?
The middle chapter still exists.
In the world, is it still part of the continuity?
Yes. It's okay. Still part of the continuity. So it's
Are we all going to forget that it was a horrible, horrible thing?
We're going to try our best.
Of course, you're speaking of The Dark Knight Strikes Again.
I told you specifically to never utter that title in my presence ever again. Fuckwit.
Okay. So I was right. Okay.
So yes. But he is going to then do Dark Knight 4 on his own.
I read about this because I remember when the announcement of Master Race came out.
Because
I was
why
like,
not?
Ooh, this is so exciting. And then it seems like just recently he was announcing that, like, oh yeah, this isn't finished yet, but there's more to beyond it.
I could point to so many examples as to why not.
Ultimately, it goes like this. Frank Miller was in really terrible health. He's gotten a lot better. He was in terrible health just a year ago. And his terrible health also admittedly affected his mental health and affected his ability to create. And he's so much better right now, and he's in a better place, and he's in a creative place. And bringing people like Brian Azzarello in have kind of activated that creativity again. And so the whole Dark Knight 3, he's almost acting as like a producer. Not even necessarily as an editor, but more as a producer, because he talks through the storyline.
He's recruiting the talent that he wants to execute it.
Exactly. He's recruiting the talent he wants. He's good friends with Brian. And then they're sending him all the art and everything, and he'll sit there and talk through it and say, you know, why don't we do something radical with this layout or this, and kind of change things around that way. So it's a really interesting way that he's working on it. At the same time, he's currently writing a brand new Sin City story that he's writing and drawing.
I heard about that too.
That was my scoop. That was something I asked him about. And he's got that going. And then once he started living in this Dark Knight universe again, he was like, you know,
the fires got going, and engine got revving.
He never told all the stories that he wanted to with Batman. And most of the stories that he wants to tell with Batman are these political and, you know, these stories that are going to piss people off. And that was always kind of part of the point. So even when Strikes Again pisses you off so much, he probably likes that a little bit.
Oh, no. Yeah, because he's a horrible human being. he's a surly curmudgeon.
And there was some really, really beautiful art in that book.
The art is actually incredible. I will say that. It's actually...
The story was a mess.
No,
but,
the story was an incomprehensible piece of shit.
The art is gorgeous.
I've never faulted him on his art. I've always loved his art. I'd be the first to admit that his Sin City... series basically reintroduced my love to comics when I was just getting so bored with everything. I don't know. I'm leery. I hope this is a great. I mean, from what I'm hearing, this sounds incredible. So I'm definitely gonna be buying it on your recommendation alone.
Yeah, I think Dark Knight 3 is gonna feel like 100 Bullets Azzarello writing in Frank Miller's universe.
Okay.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, and no, I'll read that.
And it's outrageous.
This is also like going to be released in chapters and in monthlies.
Yes, so they're going to put it out in monthlies.
How many issues do we know?
I think it's six.
Okay.
five or six. But what they're doing two different versions of it. So they're doing the monthly floppy comic book,
right,
with the mini comic inside it. Mm-hmm. And then 2 months after each issue comes out, they will also put out a hardcover that's slightly oversized and includes the mini comic at full size.
Oh.
And a slipcase so will come can, with the first so the that, first volume.
Oh,
so,
I see.
You
so you
can slide
slip all
your,
of the other ones in. Oh,
and you don't
really
have to
smart.
Wait a year for a hardcover
that's really
edition
fucking smart
to come out.
And I'm going to buy them.
And
fuck.
They look really, really good. God I saw it. One of the samples of them, and they look awesome. Nice. And the art oversized.
Well, fuck nuts.
Miller's art oversized on the Atom. That I'm telling you, when you see this Atom, I'm so sad I didn't bring it with me. I should have brought it with me. I have two copies of it. Because
that would make for
it.
Great radio.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Look at this. But oh, my God. Look at this one, though.
When you see it, it looks really
good. No, I trust
good.
You. I trust you. I guess, you know what? I've been burned before, and I'm just a little nervous to love again. That's all I'm saying. You know?
That's fair.
Well, I'm really happy because I mean, as being as big of a Batman fan as I am, I'm just really happy that you know the storyline that basically reignited the Batman universe essentially single-handedly right. is now going to be a force of good quality comic books again, and so I'm happy to hear that. I really am.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, it will. We don't. We
well, Lucas likes it. So, right. I mean, if Lucas likes it, then, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good bet that it's good.
Okay. I mean, you I know. Feel like Lucas likes more things than you like.
Yeah, but I like the things that I like that he also likes.
Very good.
And I'm also not a curmudgeon-y bastard, so.
Right. Well, let's talk about the thing that I like. I want to talk about the thing that I like real quick. Now, you are... So you're working at comicbook.com, but you're also doing some freelance work in addition to that?
Yes.
In addition to your staff job at comicbook.com?
Yes.
Wherever are you doing freelance work, Lucas?
Ba-da-da!
I don't know if you heard this earlier when we were talking. No, but Lucas is writing for StarWars.com.
Oh, this is where I tune out. Go for it.
You're not going to tune out. You like
snore.
I'm just going to sit here and keep doing a cappella John Williams.
You do a cappella John Williams. I'll explain to Lugo how much he actually likes Chewbacca's and shit. No matter. See, you like that? Oh, you got excited. You like that?
No, I liked when you said Chewbacca's and shit.
That's how we say the Star Wars universe in Iowa.
I see. Wow. Yeah, fine. Let's talk about. Here's the thing. I don't want to talk about Star Wars because I am on a pure media blackout.
That's so smart. I wrote a whole op-ed.
I know. I did. I read this op-ed of yours.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch another.
Why I don't want to see another minute.
Dear listener, if you have not read this op-ed, I highly recommend it because it's what he wrote. He basically put on. He put into words the thing that I've been doing as a philosophy for the past 5 years. And it was just nice to see this validation. Like, oh, right. No, I get a level of enjoyment from this medium I'm about to consume that most people won't have because they've already been inundated with it.
Right.
So please, no spoilers. Talk about Star Wars. Go.
Yeah, well, so this op-ed came out from after they put out the final and full trailer.
Which
so
I have not seen.
This is before the international trailer came
so
out,
this,
correct?
Right, this was before the international trailer.
Oh, God.
Right, so it was
I
the final trailer,
so
and then
right
it was
now.
The international trailer, and then 5 TV spots. So,
yeah.
Final is always in scare quotes.
I have not seen any of them. I saw the first trailer.
So I watched the first two teasers, and then the full story trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I really had this desire to just stay pure, because here's the thing. When I saw the second teaser, so the second teaser was the one with Luke narrating.
Blah, 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 blah. Sorry.
This was a fucking teaser trailer.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Well, you're
go ahead,
dumb.
No, talk,
you should
talk.
See it.
No, go ahead, talk.
It's beautiful, and you should see it. This was the
this
one with the Luke narrating.
The guy who's freaking out right now is the guy who doesn't like Chewbacca's and shit, just for
right.
the record. Okay, go
So... It was the one with Luke narrating and saying, you know, the
yeah.
Force is strong in my family.
Those are old samples!
My father hasn't... No, he re-recorded it.
Oh, did he?
He did, yeah.
Because I listened to them side
my
by side.
My father has it. I have it.
My sister has it. You have that power too.
So I got to see that. Yes. I got to see that teaser trailer with 4,500 rabid Star Wars fans at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. Mm-hmm. And the cast was sitting on the edge of the stage because it was the first time they'd gotten to see that teaser trailer. And J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy were there. And everybody in this room had this incredible emotion from 90 seconds of footage that surged through them. And it was the damnedest close I'll ever be to feeling the Force in a real way. And we all watched this, and it, and we were laughing and smiling and cheering and crying. And they played it a second time because obviously we'd heard like half of it.
Because it was literally the crowd over it.
It was literally me and my friend Amy Ratcliffe, who also writes for StarWars.com and writes for Nerdist and a few other places. It was the two of us standing there, like, holding hands, and we were just sitting there going, like, just weeping throughout the whole second time. And everybody was coming out of that room, and we were all looking at each other like, this is actually happening. This is real. This is something special to all of us. And I want the closest that I can possibly get to that feeling when I see the full movie in the theater. I'll tell you, I was actually offered from a source I will not divulge a copy of the script.
Whoa.
And I said, I just don't want it. I don't want it because I have no desire to have any of that knowledge at all going into it.
Yeah.
The way that I see it, film is so special to me because it is such an incredible culmination of what hundreds, if not thousands, of people are working on. It's the thoughts that first Michael, and I'm forgetting his name right now.
Michael Bay.
And I'm the worst. The first writer of the the first script, but it wound up being, you know, Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams did the final script, and it's the work of all of the actors involved from the original trilogy actors like Harrison Ford, like Mark Hamill, and the
like Peter Mayhew.
Damn, son. Wait, they put that old man in a suit?
They do.
That's that's wrong.
He has, like, two replaced knees. Oh, and
man, that's just cruel.
He powered through it because he wanted to be a part of this again. And like Carrie Fisher, and then, like, the brand new people, I mean, if you can watch some of these trailers, or even more so, watch the interviews and the reactions that people like Daisy Ridley and John Boyega are having.
Oh, to them seeing the trailers for the first time?
If you're not in love with Daisy Ridley and John Boyega already,
yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah, you're not a human.
They're so endearing immediately. That the videos of them, yeah, watching the trailer for the first time, it's...
And they're utterly, utterly passionate about this. Yeah. And you can see it in every single thing that they do, whether it's an interview or whether it's a frame of film. And I just want to see the finished product. I want to see what all of these people came together and worked on the way that they intended it to be seen.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wrote that whole op-ed, because, like, especially for Star Wars, it just means so much to me.
Yeah.
The first time, even before I got published by StarWars.com, when I got the contract, my wife is sitting over here and she'll absolutely know. When I got the contract for StarWars.com and I saw a Disney logo on one corner and a Lucasfilm logo on the other corner, I started to cry a little bit. Because here I am signing my name saying that, like, Disney and Lucasfilm are going to pay me to talk about Star Wars. So it's an incredibly important piece of fiction, of not really just fiction, of reality to me, because it's
pop culture,
such a huge
history. It's such a defining moment in both art and movies and storytelling and pop culture as a whole. I mean, it redefined what it means to be a fan of something. I mean,
absolutely.
Ultimately,
I mean my passion for Star Wars, it runs as deeply as yours, and it's been a part of my life, my whole life. And I read your piece about why I'm not going to watch another second of promotional materials for this movie. And I took it to heart. I'd already watched the international trailer, and I wish I hadn't, but I'm not watching any of the television spots because Star Wars is so important to my entire life, and I am now, for the first time in all these years, so close to being able to experience that, a certain kind of magic again. I remember being 8 years old and being in the theater and seeing Return of the Jedi for the first time, and the reveal of Leia and Luke being twins. I've never had that experience with a movie before, where I crapped my heart out of my body because everything I've seen since that, I was not 8 years old and engrossed in the mythology of something in quite a way. And Star Wars never let go of that for me. And there was something that like kind of triggered that when I was reading your article, that was like, I want to save this for myself. I typically will go and scour sites and get all kinds of shit spoiled for movies that I'm really excited about. But this one is like precious now.
Well, and it's so weird. I can do that with all the Marvel movies. Like, I can watch everything. I can go to set visits. I might even turn down a set visit for a Star Wars movie because it would be so difficult to get anything about it spoiled that way. Now,
I appreciate the ideology behind that statement, but you're also full of shit.
But I'm also full of shit because there's no way in hell I would ever turn down a set visit for a Star Wars.
These extras have blasters!
But I've done set visits for Marvel movies, and I've learned things about Marvel movies. Maybe I'll tease something later.
Yes!
Scoop!
And I saved something just for you guys. But yeah, it doesn't affect me the same way, and yeah,
I've never been one to like, I've never wanted to know information about something that came out before it came out. Like, I just don't have that mentality where I need to know all the information about something. Like, when it comes to pop culture that I am huge fans of, I am more than willing to wait for the finished product.
Yeah, you wouldn't watch the trailer for The Dark Knight?
No, yeah, I refused. Absolutely refused.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
The restraint was incredible.
I went into all of those movies knowing absolutely or almost nothing.
Wow.
You know, and I picked up stuff accidentally.
And see, I'm a little jealous of you of that because I feel like that would be an incredible experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't read the end of a novel before I start it. Like, why the hell would I do that for a movie? You know?
That's different. That's really a pretty crappy analogy.
And you're getting really defensive about your pop culture.
Well, I'll tell
more
you
like
this. It'd be more appropriate to say, I don't read the synopsis on the book jacket.
No.
Trailers don't show you the last scene of a movie.
I'll tell you this. I don't. Well, sometimes they will. Yeah. If it's a big action piece,
they show you enough key parts that you can assemble the puzzle in your head.
I will very generally say that the footage that's been put out there for Star Wars The Force Awakens,
please say it's the first reel.
I have on very good authority is basically act one only.
Oh, good. Nice. That's good.
That's
actually really refreshing.
There is a lot that they haven't even gotten to in any way, including the beautiful and wonderful and hilarious mystery that is, where's Luke?
Yeah.
And the other argument to be made is with the TV spots and things like that, is that those are official products that are put out for promotional purposes. And I understand people's take on that side of the fence, where people say, well, if Lucasfilm is putting this out, if J.J. Abrams is approving this, if the editors are approving this, then it's part of the promotional material. And that's fine. And I get it. But yeah, like that international trailer.
Yeah, I said
there
too
was,
much.
There's one little scene there that I
it was just too much.
Did not want to see. Yeah. I just didn't want to see that.
You know the best movie trailer is of all time? I'm so glad you asked, guys. It's it's the trailer
Hey, Schaefer!
It's the trailer for Joe Dante's Gremlins. Because you know what you see in that trailer? Nothing. And I have never wanted to see a movie more after having seen nothing. Granted, I was 10 years old.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But still.
It's still good marketing. It's very evocative.
You see
yeah.
nothing. You see, yeah. You see none of the monsters. They don't, there was a time when that used to be really sacred too, that was like studios didn't want to spoil the creatures, the creature designs in posters or television spots or trailers.
Right.
Because they wanted to get butts into seats.
Yeah.
What's funny about that though is when you look at a lot of classic trailers, even from the late 70s and early 80s, from the time frame of the original trilogy, they would show scenes that were like insanely spoilery inside
oh, yeah.
the trailers.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like the Death Star exploding.
Yeah.
Is literally like you see that explosion in the trailer and you're going, huh? Looking back, maybe not what you needed. Like, obviously, it was a giant special effects piece that was something right. crazy that had never
that
been
done before.
That
was a very expensive shot.
Right. So they're like, oh, we need to get this thing out there.
We need to get as much mileage out of it as possible.
I don't know why, but the studio executives at the time were apparently the Muppets, Statler and Waldorf.
They still are. They still are. Yeah.
That was crap.
Well, I am excited. I'm not nearly as excited as Schaefer is. But I'm excited.
Or as excited as Lucas is. Yeah. But I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah. Like, this is not a Batman movie event for me, but I'm very excited.
I took the day off work from my day job months ago.
I love you.
Because I don't go to midnight screenings because I'm an old man.
Right.
I go to first matinee opening day. That's what I go to. That's my jam.
The early screenings are starting at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Opening day.
That's crazy.
Well, because there's 7 p.m. the night before now. That's now opening day now extends to 7 p.m. the night before.
What?
Yep.
The culture of midnight screenings adjusted what a calendar day means.
Yep.
God,
it's true.
Damn it.
It's true.
All right. Lugo's getting bored of Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, I'm
so
getting
let's
bored.
Talk about something
let's
else.
Move on.
Oh, real quick. Yeah. Star Wars Battlefront is really fun, but the lack of a single player campaign is alienating people, and that sucks.
That is the thing that is keeping me away from it. I want to play that world. It looks so rich. It looks so dense with next generation graphics, except I play video games to escape the world. I don't like to play with strangers online because they're always dicks to me, but I'm thinking about changing that because I want to play this game
Very
so bad.
True. There are two things that could be a new hope for you in that realm.
Oh, fuck you.
Here, give me a high five.
Fuck you.
Yeah. No, that was good.
One, they're already working on the sequel, and it will have a single-player campaign. Got and it. Two, the second
Wait,
game...
Wait, you mean a sequel as in, like, a new disc, or a sequel as
like
an add-on?
Like, a whole new disc.
Oh, okay.
And two, the second Star Wars game that's being made in this new EA and Disney venture... Mm-hmm. is by Todd Stashwick, who I'll disclose is a friend of mine, and Amy Hennig, who created the Uncharted series.
Oh.
So the two of them are co-writing this new game. It's being
like a
third-person
made... action game?
Oh, it's...
It's something, isn't it? Oh, what is it, Lucas? What is it? What kind of game is it?
We'll probably find out something... at E3 next year.
I hate you, Lucas.
Oh. Is it going to be Underworld?
I'm so...
Did they dig up Underworld?
What's Underworld?
Underworld was a game that they were talking about making. There's some footage that was released.
13, yeah.
Yeah, there was supposed
to
be like...
Oh, that did. The 13-13 where it was like Coruscant and you were bounty hunters.
Yeah, it was like the, it was
so,
like, it was
so
like
it's
the
not,
black market.
It's not that, but a lot of assets were developed for that. And
I thought that was just
Lucasfilm doesn't like to waste assets.
Okay. Okay. So
that's back on the
start countdown to E3.
Okay.
Now just remember that the first Battlefront teaser was literally like an AT-AT foot coming down.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if there's something, it'll probably be closer to that than like a massive two-minute trailer
right,
reveal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fuck.
But they recruited a complete all-star team of developers. It's amazing. I mean, it's the development studio that did Dead Space 2.
Ooh.
And then they recruited in people from the Halo series and from Uncharted, and there are level designers and level designers from
people,
Assassin's Creed.
People with shooter experience.
And, yeah, there's shooter experience, there's adventure experience. The story is a brand new story in the Star Wars universe that's 100% canon.
And you know what it is.
Wait, hold on. Canon in that it's already established canon, or that it will be part of the canon now, going forward?
Interesting.
Fuck you, Lucas. Fuck you.
This is
you
the guy.
Wait, you
this
can't
a great,
even. You
a great way of phrasing that question. Thank you, Lugo.
You can't even confirm or deny if it's part of a canon that already exists, or they're writing a new that's going to be accepted as canon. You can't even confirm that.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Is yes
you.
A
yes. You yes cannot confirm that. You're a dick. You're a dick. That's all I'm saying.
I want to step away from Star Wars again.
Please. Yes. Thank you.
Because.
Yes, because Nelson hated it so much that he talked about it for 5 minutes on his own.
Because I want to talk about something else that you wrote online.
Okay.
That got me really thinking. That I really enjoyed.
Which
and
piece?
It's about Gotham.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot damn! How good is this show now?
I love this
I'm
show.
I'm so fucking happy
Lugo's,
that Gotham is so good now.
Lugo's a couple weeks behind, though.
I am a couple weeks behind.
But you have been watching this season.
Absolutely, okay. I have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. I know the last... We've talked about it in an affectionate way where we also kind of, like...
Rib it
a little bit.
Yeah,
because,
right,
you know,
yeah.
We goofed on it last time you were here.
It's so self-aware. I mean, it's just so, so self-aware. It's almost adorably so. It's like, here's a character. Eh? Eh? You know this guy. Eh?
I love oh, my
it.
God.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Or as I like to call it now, the Ednigma show. Because that's a story arc I'm the most invested in. I love what they have done with Ed so much. And this season, his parts just shine. His parts shine this season the same way Cobblepot's shined for me in the first season.
That could have something to do with the fact that Corey Michael Smith is a goddamn baller. He is so...
Is that
so,
the actor?
Yeah. He's unreal.
He's,
I mean, the,
he's
what,
really good.
What he
I mean,
does with those scenes, he is just unbelievable. And the
his ability
playing
to
the split
to,
personality.
Yeah,
and
the whole like golem switching back and forth thing is just so good.
Oh my god!
So I feel good. Like they knew the creators.
And then
of
when
this
they
show.
Threw in like the little Arkham style, like the Riddler voice cutting in and out, and,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
jumping around. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, you play Arkham games, too.
Every time he appears on screen, there's a green light in the room.
Damn straight. And now, he's, there's now so, he's basically wearing green
all the time.
Time,
yeah. I feel like the creators of the show, they knew what gold they had in him as a cast member last year. And they were like, oh, he's perfect. So let's just sleep on this guy
let's
for a
hold
year.
It. Yeah.
And so for a year, we'll just make him this kind of... almost grating.
Yeah. Milk toast. Just
background
a,
character
yeah,
that just was a, just. And the whole
with,
time I was
with
like,
the
I get
awful
it, guys.
Riddle puns.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't care about him at all.
No, yeah. In fact, I was almost a little insulted because it was almost. It felt like the very tired cliche sort of embodiment of what a nerd is. You
right,
know, like
right.
just the very overused, very lazy. Writing, but now I kind of like, oh, I see what you did
there. Yeah.
Well, and Aaron Richards kind of on the same level where they kept her so Barbara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They kept
yeah.
her like,
oh my god,
damn,
yeah.
is
right.
so boring. And
boring.
Then it was those last four episodes of season one where she gets abducted
yeah.
by Milo Ventimiglia, the ogre, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, she's super interesting now.
Yeah.
And this whole
yeah.
season, she's been unbelievable.
Yes,
she's
have to agree with
she
you.
Terrifies the fuck
so,
out of me, and I love
and
it.
That's the thing that you wrote online, and that's what I want to talk about. Now, I know fans of the show
oh, I've
have
had so much fun with Barbara.
Have wildly speculated about when they're going to introduce the Joker, because there's the show's giving us little red herrings here and there. Who's, oh, is this guy the Joker? Was it that comedian you saw on stage for like a second last season? Is it Is it what was the kid's name? The circus
Jerome.
Kid? Was it Jerome? I mean, his name started with a J, and he is doing a good impression of a really obnoxious, annoying Joker shitty cosplayer.
Yeah,
I hated that kid so much.
Oh, come on.
Oh no,
he did exactly what he was hired to do, and he did it really well.
That's what he does, though. That's exactly the way I would characterize his performance. Is if you had a group of friends and you went to some nerd themed event and you all cosplayed as characters, he's the friend who is so into his Joker impression that he does it all day long that by the end of the day you're just like, Dave, could you seriously just shut the fuck up for a minute? Because every second he's like, hey, Joker, 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 Joker. And so I found him grating. And so when he died, I applauded. Spoiler. When he died, I applauded. Now, for many reasons, because one, I didn't like that they were, it seemed like, I didn't really buy it the whole time. I felt like they were handing us a red herring.
Yeah,
and then it watering
feel,
it for
it,
us.
It did feel like a red herring, yeah.
And so that now it's still out there.
Do you typically water your fish when somebody gives it to you?
I will do what I want with the words, Lucas.
Yeah, he's a fucking adult. Don't tell him what to do.
So they let this thing fester.
Right.
And...
My only beef.
Shut the fuck up. That's the middle of a sentence.
You took a breath.
Let him go. Get there.
You wrote a piece where you pitched your own theory of what Gotham could be doing and who they could be setting up as a possible Joker. And I hadn't considered it, and I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, so I while I was on set for this season and watching the first two episodes, which are very Jerome centric, I'm watching these and I'm going, ah, man, you know, I had this thought when I was watching those last four episodes of season one that Barbara, the way that she snaps, the way that she turns, the way that she smiles, you know, she'd make a damn good Joker. And then when I was on set and watched the first two episodes, right after that, I went and walked around the room and talked to the cast. And I went straight to Erin, and I was talking to her, and I said, so I have this theory that I've already written that's going up, and now I'm going to have to add to because of these two episodes, that they're setting Barbara up to be the Joker. And she immediately, like, laughs a little bit and looks at me and she's like, oh, that'd be fun. And that then just got me so much more going crazy.
Yeah.
And so now I've talked to everybody I possibly can, including Bruno Heller, the creator and showrunner. And when I talked to him about it, he said, well, first off, we've absolutely talked about making the Joker a female on the show.
Wow.
He said that straight up.
That was definitely a topic of discussion.
He said that to somebody who writes words on the internet.
Right. Who he knew he was talking to on the record.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he also told me in the same interview that the Court of Owls is coming to Gotham. Mm-hmm. He's very, very upfront, and when they have, you know, real plans, he's very free with talking about them.
Wow.
One of my favorite people to interview, honestly, because he's just so blunt. It always
is
takes
that,
me
is
off
that
guard.
Is that rare when you interview TV
extremely,
people?
Extremely, extremely rare, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Especially for somebody as high up as a showrunner that really wants to keep things close to the vest. And,
sure.
And so then my question has typically become, do you think Erin can pull it off? And every cast member, every producer I talk to, all say absolutely, no question, definitely. And the way that she has performed this season, there's no question. I mean,
oh no,
it's fairly clear at this point that Barbara Keene is not going to become Barbara Gordon on Gotham.
Oh goodness, no.
It would take so much to get to that point.
Yeah, like,
that would
like
be unbelievable.
Like an amnesia episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like terribly, terribly unbelievable.
I tell you
it
what.
It wouldn't fit the story.
No.
But what would fit the story is Barbara Keene just fully embracing it and saying, you know what? I'm happiest when I'm fucking people up.
Yeah.
And when I'm killing people and when I'm just doing things for my enjoyment. And that's the key. And there've been those moments. And
Absolutely.
She has her moments of vulnerability too still, but there have been those moments that just make me go.
Even in these little glimpses that you know, that she is hypothetically slowly being turned into this character. Even in those little moments where she's kind of played toward that on screen, I have enjoyed her portrayal 100 times more than that obnoxious kid who played Jerome.
So yes, it is still
my
a kid,
but... my only beef with that theory is that it introduces the Joker too soon. You know, like, I mean, because the show takes some pretty wide liberties with the canon, but to like the tent post, it stayed really faithful.
But it's not the canon, and it's never meant to be the canon. It's a different world. It's a different interpretation.
There is not Batman canon anymore.
Infinite Earths.
That does not exist anywhere.
Infinite Earths.
I guess you're right.
Infinite Earths.
No, you're right. You're right.
Superboy, Infinite Walls of Reality.
Earths. Shut up. I hate you. I don't hate you.
So this is a different Earth.
Well, let me ask you this. I guess since we're going down the road of different Earth, different story, different like completely new direction. Going back to the whole like, you know, spoiler, Jerome's dead. Does mysticism now live in the Gotham world? Because it's worked so hard to really try to
be very grounded.
Be very grounded and be this gritty thing.
Praise be.
You know, does mysticism, are we going to see magic wielders in this Gotham, you think, now?
I think you still can.
Okay.
I think you can in very limited fashions where it's... I feel like if you introduce
doesn't that break the conceit they've already established, though?
Not any more than Zatanna coming to town in one issue of Batman and then the next 10 issues him being fighting people on the street does.
Well, that's true.
You know, Batman can... The beauty of Batman... Batman can fight politically and apolitically. Batman can fight gods, can fight monsters, can fight space aliens... And he can fight the thug on the street. Mm. And all of those fights are just as believable. Mm. And that's the beauty of Batman. That is why Batman is a singularly different and beautiful character
from any
other in all of superheroes.
Absolutely.
And because of that, you have this ability where, you could even, Gotham, when you look at Gotham City and you look at its history... The way it's been portrayed in comics, the way it's been portrayed in video games and movies and TV shows now, you could absolutely have a mystical episode where most of the people are like, what the fuck is going on here? And then there's that one person that kind of has the experience.
Right.
And that's the way you could have something like that still come into the show and have it not break the show. I think that we're more likely to see that with some of the more monstrous characters first. Some of the characters...
Oh, like you mean like Clayface or Solomon Grundy or...
Right, or Croc, or one of those.
Sure.
Especially with this...
So you think
with Indian Hills being introduced.
Right.
And with the amazing B.D. Wong coming in as Hugo Strange.
What?!
B.D.
Wong.
I got to announce that too.
B.D. Wong is going to be on Gotham.
Who's Hugo Strange?
Who's B.D. Wong?
B.D. Wong. He was the psychiatrist on
Oz.
On Oz, and he was on Law and Order SVU for like 12 seasons.
I have no idea who this guy is.
He's awesome. He's an incredible, incredible actor.
Okay.
And him coming in as Hugo Strange made me so happy.
Oh, wow, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, he was trying out all the different. Like facial and hairstyles the other day and Instagrammed them, and there's like 12 different versions of him with various, including the ridiculous
chin strap.
Like Abraham Lincoln chin strap. But with him coming in as Hugo Strange and doing these experiments at this Indian Hills facility.
Do you think that we'll actually end up getting some of the more monstrous villains before we get any mysticism then?
Yes.
Okay.
I do think that.
Interesting.
I mean, they got that girl they call Ivy that they've been sleeping on, right? It's like,
oh yeah, where the hell she been?
I think they kind of figured out that she was a bust.
Really? You think they just wrote her out?
I mean, they didn't write her out. They didn't have to write her out
because she's background. But
she showed up. She showed up like three or four weeks ago, I think, for one quick interrogation scene when they were looking for Selena.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I think she'll be. They'll keep her off on the sidelines for now. Right now, the big story is the Galavans, who are, of course, actually the Dumas.
Right.
And the Order of St. Dumas officially comes to Gotham this Monday. And that will really change how things are viewed. And as E.P. John Stevens told me, they will not do an Order of St. Dumas story without Azrael being a part of that.
Well, nice. You can't. I mean, you it's integral to their plot.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what you'll see first and what we saw at the end of this week's episode.
Azrael is going to be like is he going to be like an inspiration to a little puberty child?
That could be interesting.
That would be an interesting way to be like, hey, maybe if I wear a dumb costume.
There will be some more inspiration going on for several of the children in the show.
Okay.
And there will be, so the right now we only have two episodes left of the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then we go the winter break.
There's a winter break, yeah. And then it's going to be 11 straight through again.
Okay.
So really nice compared to last season when they did like two or three episodes at a time.
Yes.
And it's like, let's have a 5-week break.
That gives Lucius plenty of time to fix that computer in the basement.
Plenty of time to fix that fucking computer in the basement.
How long has he been working on that thing so
Let
far?
Me tell he you. Has it. He showed up and he was like, I can probably fix this, but it's going to take some time.
Let me tell you, stepping onto that cave set.
Nice. Like,
yeah, I had happy.
You must have been excited because you were like, oh my God. There is more than one room in Wayne Manor. I'm serious, man. It's like this far into this season, and I'm like, you guys still don't have, God. You can't show us a kitchen or a bedroom or something. It's one room, and all I suppose
it's
is
tiny,
that that little
tiny.
Bastard just throws on a sweater every day and sits there and waits to awkwardly get more pubescent.
It's a tiny studio in Brooklyn, man. It's and they got a shoot Blind Spot on that
Manor.
Studio, too. So what do you want?
Look, Fish's Club was a bigger set than Wayne Manor.
Fish's Club became the Galavan's whole apartment.
Which is also bigger than Wayne Manor's study, the library.
Oh, man. But yeah,
Wait, I thought they were shooting at the box.
No, they shot the pilot at the box, and then they built the set to look like the box.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a nice set, though. It's they have a really nice set. It was the way I first figured out that Jerome was absolutely not the Joker.
Yeah.
My first set visit right before season one or season two started here, I got there and I was taking in everything, and I'm just full on. I'm reaching back into like army mind where I can just take in like 180 degrees at all times, and I see all of these prop boxes, and Nigma's prop box is labeled the Riddler, and you have
oh wow, really?
Yep.
Wow.
His prop box is labeled the Riddler, and you have Oswald Cobblepot's prop box is labeled the Penguin. And then there was a prop box labeled Jerome. And I was like, motherfucker is not the Joker.
Good.
Sorry, Jerome. Well,
so glad. So relieved.
I'm very glad.
But yeah, Gotham is so good now.
The other shows as well. Like, I'm, you know, Green Arrow is really fantastic this season.
Superhero TV in general is very good right now.
The
Agents
Flash,
of S.H.I.E.L.D. is out fucking standing
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
this year.
Just fucking surprises me with every single episode, and it just keeps getting better and better. I fucking love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I will sing the praises specifically of Ian DeCastecker and Elizabeth Henstridge just a little bit on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Because, Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah. Their story is so touching.
The Simmons solo episode where it was basically just her for 3/4 of the episode on this far-flung planet across the universe. And it's only her. and the cinematography was gorgeous, the directing was gorgeous, the writing was gorgeous, and then she pulled it off, and in spectacular fashion.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
just
yeah.
such... I think it's my favorite... I'm willing to say it's my favorite episode of superhero TV that's ever been made.
Wow.
And it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal solo episode that really showed a real person. And then once she finally finds another person on this planet, the way that they go to each other, while as a Fitzsimmons fan, I was going, fuck no! As a human being, I totally understood it.
Absolutely,
and I took it
yeah.
in, and I realized, like, yeah, they need this
yeah.
in order to survive. They have to have it. And so it's, and then they've handled the fallout of that really, really well and really adult, and talked about how this is an actual relationship and an actual adult situation
mm-hmm.
in just an incredibly mature way that I didn't necessarily expect out of a superhero show, maybe even especially out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
That's usually been a little bit more, you know, over the top and...
Yeah, yeah. It's getting more... It's past its growing pains.
Yeah.
And the writing feels more comfortable. It feels more solid. It feels like they can actually take more risks now that they don't have to really prove themselves anymore. Like they feel like established, and they can start telling stories they want to tell.
Yep.
You know,
and then the Flash is the bomb.
Oh God, I love the Flash. Good. Flash is so fucking good. I have not seen an episode of Supergirl yet. What's your take on it?
It's very good, and it's very hopeful, and it's very it's just, I mean, it feels more Superman than anything we've seen Superman wise in live action in 30 years.
Okay.
And I think that's really what they were going for is...
Oh, good. Okay.
They wanted to put out a hopeful and powerful character that can bring people in.
Right. That isn't gritty or raw or that... yeah. The problem is...
The demographics have been amazing on it, too.
Well, CBS doesn't do Hulu or Netflix or anything like that. So, like,
right.
I can't... And the thing is, I don't have... I can't only plan
their
for
own,
television.
Their own personal...
Yeah. So,
CBS.
Which I'm now going to buy another fucking
For
app,
Star Trek.
You know, for... Yeah, for fucking Supergirl and Star Trek now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one more goddamn subscription app I have to buy.
And you know what CBS says to that? Yep.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I don't have cable, so like I watch all of my television via the internet, and it's always worked out for me perfectly until now, because CBS was the one channel that I didn't particularly care about.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have anything I cared. Like, it had one show.
and now they're like,
fuck,
hey, remember
you,
us?
Hugo.
Here's everything you love.
Well, I mean, they had that one show for a while called The Mentalist, which was just, I mean, it was good.
From showrunner Bruno Heller.
There you go. Which was
runs Gotham.
Which was a very cute and clever show about a magician who, an ex-scam artist who assists in FBI cases. And me being a magician and scam artist, I liked the insider view of it. And then that was it. Like, I didn't care about CBS in any other way.
Yeah.
And now fucking Star Trek and Supergirl. I'm like, well, fuck. I'm going to give up my HBO app so I can afford my CBS app.
And you know what CBS people are saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. You know.
They're good with that.
Well, fuck. All right, look. This is all fun and games. We talked about television. Let's talk about the one thing that we brought you on the show to talk about.
Yes.
Star Wars.
No.
We traditionally
bring you on in our November episode because we want you to tell us what are the top nerd things to buy nerds this holiday season. I want to know. I need to know things. You're in the know. You have lists of things you've seen in the world. Tell me, tell the world what we need to buy. Go.
Is it that smartphone controlled RC-BB-8 that you get at Radio Shack? Is that the hot toy?
Fuck yeah. Oh, that BB-8.
You have one of those,
so
right?
Awesome. I don't.
He
I
has
still
four.
Don't have one yet.
Oh my goodness.
He's got a pallet of them at home.
I'm hoping for one soon. Liza, wife of mine. I'm hoping for one soon. You will get me a BB-8.
Oh my God, just get a fucking room.
that BB-8, the Sphero BB-8 is awesome. I've gotten to play with it a few times.
Wait, where is it from? Riddo Shack?
It's all over the place.
Well, no, it's
at the Disney Store and at Toys R Us.
Isn't that thing like $500?
No, it's $150, so it's not that much. Eh. You control it with an app on your phone, and it also includes, well, here's a big selling point for Star Wars fans. If you get the Sphero BB-8 between now and when Force Awakens comes out, there will be some new exclusive content that is released only through the Sphero BB-8 app and given to you in hologram form.
Holy shit!
So you basically
that little
hold
fucker
your,
has a projector.
You hold your phone up and it does AR.
AR.
So you hold your phone up to your BB-8 and it does AR to show, like, through your phone. You can see it projecting the hologram, and it's going to project some special messages from some very important people in Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Fucking fuck.
So that's the first and last item on the list. Everybody, please buy me a BB-8 this holiday season.
A pallet of BB-8s will show up at your door.
Yep.
All right, that's number one.
That is absolutely number one.
What else? What else you got?
Number two is tickets for The Force Awakens on
shut up.
Thursday night, Friday,
shut
Saturday.
Shut
Sunday.
Up. Shut your fucking face hole. What else you got?
Are there any big, like, prestige games left for the end of the season? Everything's out now, right?
Just about everything's out. You know what hasn't come out yet that is so fucking fun? Just Cause 3.
Oh, okay.
So Square Enix...
the stunt action game.
It's the stunt action game. Square Enix is putting out Just Cause 3, and basically you play as this guy that gets marooned on this set of, like, this archipelago of three islands. And there's a horrible dictator, and you have to take him down.
Oh,
and it doesn't get any more complicated than that at all in the entire story of the entire game.
It's just, how do you get from A to B the most ridiculously?
Right. So you can hover around on your parachute with, like, it's a stunt parachute, so you can, like, adjust and try to catch the wind and things like that. You also have a flying wing suit that you can switch into, and because it's, you know, a ridiculous action game, you can just switch into that at the drop of a hat.
Of course.
And your grappling hook. And through those three things, you can move anywhere on these three islands. The whole thing is open from the very first time you step into the game.
Wow.
You can literally go into the game, not play a single mission, and play this game for about 60 hours and just have a ridiculous play. It's so much fun.
Can you basically, like, start the game and then go over to where the big boss is and blow his head off?
You can attempt to, but you will get the shit kicked out of
Fair
you.
Enough.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
Yeah. But you can attempt
but you
to.
Can attempt
you can
to.
Actually go and try to take down the main complex in the game.
Using nothing more than a parachute
right
pistol.
Away. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It's so much fun. If you play Just Cause 2, this is that game times 12 in every direction.
All right.
More weapons, way larger place to explore. Like, Just Cause 2's island was basically one of the three islands in Just Cause 3.
Oh, so I see. I see.
Yeah. It's a blast. It's really, really fun. I literally, like, need to go home and play the final version of it. But I had a blast with it when I've demoed it before, and it's so much fun. And David Tennant does propaganda messages throughout it, which is pretty hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome.
David Tennant, who my next recommendation would just be a Netflix subscription so people can watch fucking Jessica Jones, because it's so good.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh my
All
god,
right.
It's so good.
Buy your loved ones a Netflix subscription,
or just give them your account, you greedy bastard.
No, well, buying them would be you actually spending money
stingy
on them.
Bastard.
That would actually be better than
Merry Christmas. I wrote my password down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is outstanding.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
David Tennant is scary as fuck.
Right. Is he the Purple Man?
He is the Purple Man.
Oh, okay.
He is the most terrifying villain in any superhero adaptation I've ever seen.
Whoa.
Wow.
He's saying a lot.
He is... Yes. More so than the Kingpin. He is utterly, utterly terrifying.
Wow.
Nice.
You will have bad dreams when you watch Jessica Jones, but you'll still love them anyway.
Aww. Well, I hope this Tenet guy has a career out of this.
Oh, my God. I want to hit you in the face so hard.
He's a newcomer, right?
I want to punch you in the face so
fucking
hard.
Yeah, he had that failed Fox show Broadchurch, right?
Oh, I feel like I saw that once, but then it was really overrated, and I tried watching it and got bored.
Oh, my God. I literally want to just... No, I want to shove this beer bottle up your nose. That's as far as it'll go. So anything in the comic book world, like any collected versions, any prestige books I should be looking out for, any DVD releases or...
God. There's that awesome new Avengers Phase 2 set that's coming out. It includes the...
Is that the Blu-ray, the big Blu-ray box?
Yeah, it includes the Power Stone from Guardians of the Galaxy. So you can actually have an Infinity Stone.
Oh, nice.
All of your own. That's pretty badass. It's coming out on December 8th.
Oh, that's cool.
With the Ant-Man Blu-ray release. So you can either buy Ant-Man, or you can buy the whole set that has everything between the first Avengers movie and Ant-Man.
Wow.
It has all of that.
Phase 1.
All Phase 2.
Phase 2.
Yeah. And then, yeah, on the comic book side, I would highly recommend Wayward, the deluxe hardcover edition, volume 1 of Wayward from Jim Zub, and I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting the artist name right now, but I'm sure you can include it at least in, like, data.
Sure.
Links.
Yeah, yeah.
Wayward, it's this spectacular book for anyone that ever even had, like, an anime phase in their lives. Wayward takes a lot of anime tropes and kind of puts them into a much more real world. And it's all about this girl that grew up in the States, and then she had to move in parent.
Yeah, I actually read the first two issues of this.
So the deluxe hardcover is gorgeous. Extremely high quality printing. It has every single variant cover from all sorts of amazing artists in the back, which are almost worth the price alone just because it's all these incredible artists doing takes on it. But the story is so much fun. Mm. And there's this amazing amount of discovery. And then there are a couple of twists in the story that really blew me away. That I was, as somebody who has been reading comics nonstop for work for over a decade, this story had moments that blew me away. That completely shocked me.
Oh, wow. I think I stopped reading when it got good. Jeez. All right. I'll definitely keep a lookout for it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've added that to my Christmas list.
There you go. Wayward Volume 1.
Nelson Lugo and fans.
All right.
So you guys know that I hate to come on this show without a little bit of scoop.
Yeah, give us a taste. A little thing, a little scoop.
And I mean, I've given you a little bit already with Gotham, but
I'm gonna tease
your listeners, and then I'll tell you guys afterwards.
Yeah, you will.
I'm gonna tease your listeners.
Yeah.
So,
this is like what you did with Inhumans.
Okay. Captain America: Civil War. First off, the movie is going to be fucking spectacular.
It's a big movie.
It's like there's giant, giant, giant movie.
Okay.
And it's going to... Nobody has any idea what this movie is going to do yet.
True.
Nobody has any idea.
Is it not following the
what it's
going
to do to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Oh.
One of the newer Avengers...
Go on.
Go on, yeah.
...has a much larger role in this film than anyone has even contemplated.
Okay.
And thus a much larger role in all of Phase 3
of
the Marvel Cinematic Universe than people have contemplated. And I've been thinking the whole, like, all day today and on the way here of how, like, to
how
perfectly
phrase
that.
That.
Yeah. Okay. So that's exactly how I'm going to phrase it. And that's it.
Well, I think you phrased it really well. And let me just add to that, thwip, thwip.
I think
just
that's
just shaking
it.
My head.
Oh, yeah. That was the sound. That was that ambient noise there was Lucas Siegel shaking his head at my sound effect hint.
Yeah, no, we need, let's stop now.
We can turn off the microphone and
yes,
then
that's what I want
to
do.
We'll get him to tell us.
I want to turn off the microphone.
Make him sing.
Oh, God damn it. Thank you, Lucas Siegel, for being on the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Go
read me talking about Star Wars on comicbookbook.com. Talking about Star Wars on StarWars.com.
We're going to link the fuck out of this.
We're going to link a couple of these pieces in the show notes.
Yes, please do.
Dude, thanks so much for coming by, man. Seriously.
Thanks, guys. It's always fun.
It's always a treat to have you here.
I know. Han Solo'd you.
Once again, we would like to thank Lucas Siegel for being our guest on the program this month.
Lucas! He's a handsome man.
He is. That's five times a charm.
Five times the charm.
He's always very charming.
So I hope you listeners were taking notes, and you now know exactly what Schaefer and I want for the holidays. So,
Lugo, I gotta say, you are a saint. You were so incredibly patient while you listened to at least 20 minutes of solid talk about Star Wars.
No, I wasn't. I was surly the whole time.
You were your version of patient.
Oh, fair enough. Yes, yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
You only, like, pooped your pants once. you only acted out when we took a break and turned off the mic for a second.
Yeah.
You threw a bit of a tantrum then, but only once. So,
well,
good
I
job.
Mean, in my own defense, I was hungry and I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. that was great.
To read more of Lucas's stuff, of course, you can find his work at comicbook.com and StarWars.com. And we will include links to a couple of the specific pieces we cited in the show notes.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Also, he did tell us who that secret character was that he was talking about in his...
And it's not who you're thinking of!
So if anybody thought that my reference of Marvel sound effects was indicative of...
He's dead wrong.
I was so wrong.
Dead wrong. Just dead, dead wrong.
Profoundly wrong. I was profoundly wrong for the first time today.
Well, for the first time tonight.
I did a pretty good job about being right about everything that I said today, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the part of the day that started before I saw you.
Okay.
I was really right on today. My facts were all solid. Everything checked out.
My new job has got me working like a beast. So. Let's get out of here.
Would you like to do some plugs?
I think you should do the plugs because... No, I think I should do the plugs because we're doing the same damn things.
Right. Why don't you let me do them because I know when the dates are.
Okay. Okay. I do have a pocket computer that has all...
I know. I know, Nelson.
Yes.
I know.
I have a fancy space phone.
Tomorrow, Friday, November 27th, Nelson Lugo and I will be in Orlando, Florida.
Florida!
Where we will host the 2015 Best of Show for Big Bang Boom Cabaret.
Hey, yes, at the venue in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah. It's going to be excellent. They are going to have a number of performers who have graced the Big Bang Boom Cabaret stage over the past year and previously earlier, because I have not hosted that show since November 2012.
Oh, it's your triumphant return.
Yes, it is.
Aw.
On Saturday, November 28th, You can come see us at a comic shop in Orlando, Florida.
Florida!
We're doing an all-day event there in their back room, the Geekeasy, which is
fantastic.
The venue in the room behind the comic book shop where they serve sandwiches and beer and have cabinet video games and let assholes like us speak in their microphones on their stages. Starting at 3 p.m., we will be recording a live edition of the Epic Podcast in front of a studio audience, so please feel free to come down and
Step on by.
Roll your eyes at us.
Yeah, you might actually be a part of the show if you're lucky.
Oh, that's right, because we have no plan for what we're going to do, so we could probably...
We have an idea for an idea for a plan.
That's all we've ever had for anything that we have ever created together, an idea of an idea.
Well, if it ain't broke.
At 7 p.m., we'll be doing a full show where Nelson will do a full set of his magic, and I will do a full set of my sex rhymes and other rap songs. And local Florida rapper IQ
will
be kicking off the show at 7 p.m. That's all at a comic shop in Orlando, Florida.
At some point, Schaefer is then going to fly back to New York. I'm going to stay in Orlando, Florida. And on Sunday, I'm going to be in Tampa doing a show for Frankie Mark Stone. If you want to know details about that, go see my website. And on Monday, I'm going to be in Gainesville at the Market Street Pub, and I'm going to be doing stories and magic, and the Dr. Sin's Freak Island musical sideshow is opening for me, and I love those ladies so damn much.
On Friday, December 18th, nothing else in the world fucking matters because The Force Awakens is released. On Saturday, December 19th, I will be at Joe's Pub in New York City, where the Pink Room Burlesque will present The X-mas Files, a holiday burlesque tribute to The X-Files, which I will be hosting as the cigarette-smoking man. This show is called X-Files. With music by Mark Snow.
Oh, God, shut up. All of you, shut up.
And that's it. And then,
yeah.
And then it's Santa's birthday, so get turnt.
And if you're in the Chicago area, check out Tokens and Tankards opening in Mount Prospect before the end of 2015. Tokens and Tankards, it is an arcade gastropub. If you've wanted to go to an arcade and drink beer and not be surrounded by douchebags, Tokens and Tankards is going to be the place for you. It is all Chicago-made brews and all Chicago-made arcade games. Check it out, opening up December 2015.
So that's friends of yours?
Fuck you, Lucas Siegel. Fuck you. This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 37. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye.
Gobble, gobble.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpodcast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. We need to get our host out here.
Yes. He ain't getting any younger.
Nor are we. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break and we'll... Fucking God, I'm slurring because I'm drunk. We're going to take a quick break and we will be... How can I not say we will? Do re mi fa sol la ti do.
We're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back with our guest, Lucas Siegel.
Sit down, Lucas. You had an hour. Shut the fuck up.
I was trying to help.